1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. Hebrews 12:1-2. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:1-2. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:1-2. Psalm 37:23-24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord upholds him. Psalm 37:23-24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord upholds him. Psalm 37:23-24. Children, please stand for Bible class. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. God has given to us magnificent privileges in life. One of those, of course, is to do what we're doing now. And that is to spend a few moments in prayer so that we can know that our hearts are properly in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then spend some time with our hearts and minds focused upon the eternal Word of God. The Bible assures us that God's Word is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We have the responsibility as believers to have our minds saturated with the Word of God. We have the responsibility of seeing from a divine vertical viewpoint. And we realize that the only way that we're able to see from God's vantage point, a vertical viewpoint, is see as our Lord sees. And that's the responsibility we have in when we study God's Word. Studying God's Word is a magnificent challenge for us because we're able then to have the mind of our Lord. The Scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This simply means that we have the opportunity to think the Lord's thoughts, see as He sees, understand as He understands, comprehends as He comprehends. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. May we pray together, please. Father, thank you so very much for your Word. We thank you for the opportunity which we have to study your Word, to accept your Word, to believe your Word, to be perceptive to the things that are eternal. Not only that we are able to be perceptive to those things, but that we'll be able to receive and then utilize, metabolize, make our lives better as a result of utilizing divine truths. We thank you for your grace and for your blessings. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the past weeks, we've taken a look at a word that all of you perhaps have written somewhere. If not, you need to write it. It's the word pivot. We'll look again at this word in just a few moments, but I want you to see that this is a five-letter word, pivot. I have it on the screen for you. The word that we're looking at today is the word covet. C-O-V-E-T. So I'm going to put these words on the screen. We are seeing the word pivot. We're going to see the word covet. I'm going to take time to let you just look at these words. You may want to write the word pivot down and then write for yourself a definition of the word pivot. Another word that I've just now mentioned is the word covet. If you'll write this word down, please, and then for yourself, write a definition. A few sessions back, we emphasized the fact that the word pivot means a central point on which a mechanism turns. If you're copying the definition, it would be fine for you to write, the word pivot means a central point on which a mechanism turns. I'll give you time to write that because it's very important to have it down. The word pivot, P-I-V-O-T, means a central point on which a mechanism turns. Looking at this word as a noun, it can be defined as a point on the end of which something rests and turns. I know that's very simple, and yet it's profound. This word is a noun, a point on which the end of which something rests and turns. Most of us are familiar with the term pivot from the standpoint of having either played basketball or having attended a basketball game, realizing that the word pivot is an important word because the player stands with one foot down and then he's able to twist and turn, look in different directions to determine which way his next play is to be. To pivot. The word's an important word. The word pivot is an important word. The word covet, an important word. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, which is one of our major verses today, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." The responsibility that we have as believers, members of the pivot, we have the responsibility of having a mind that is renewed. A few sessions back, we emphasized the fact that there are many things that attack us to move us away from thinking God's thoughts. When I look at Ephesians 4:23, I want to remind you that there is a verb here that is powerful. Very, very powerful. It is the word renewed. Taking just a moment to remind you that this is a present, passive, infinitive. You'd say, well, why, preacher, are you talking about Greek now? We didn't come today to get some Greek. Well, I want to share some with you anyway. The infinitive mood is a mood of desire, a wish. So we have here the Apostle Paul saying to the believers to be renewed. Wish, desire. The present tense emphasizes something that is continually happening. God's desire for us is to have continually a desire to be renewed and right with God. I notice when I look at this present tense that it is followed by an emphasis on the fact that it is a passive voice. The active voice says the subject produces the action. The middle voice says the subject participates in the action and is normally benefited thereby. The passive voice says, as all of you have heard this so many times, the subject receives the action of the verb. Be renewed. Present tense, continuous action. Passive voice, infinitive. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I believe that the plan of God for us for proper preparation for life is for us to understand the importance as a believer to continually be in harmony and in fellowship with our Lord. That's the reason why the scripture says that we're to confess our sins, knowing that He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This scripture is a challenge to me, as I believe a challenge to you. Be renewed. Continually renewed. Be the recipient of renewal. It should be our desire, the infinitive mood, a wish or desire. It's God's plan for us to be continually renewed. Covet. This word is a unique word indeed. It is found, and you might want to turn there, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. Most of us are familiar with the fact that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 comes right before 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Isn't that profound that I would say that to you? Most of you are aware of the fact that chapter 13 is so well known by every believer as the love chapter, the filling of the Holy Spirit chapter. But what we find in the last verse of chapter 12 is so unique and so powerful because when you look at it, it says that there's something that the believer should covet. The word covet is used then. You might want to either turn there or be sure you write 1 Corinthians 12, 31 down. Because the verse says, covet the greater gifts. Covet. And the word covet is the word which means desire. Covet, desire, the greater gifts. What's so amazing to me is that the Apostle Paul is telling us something that is so unique and so wonderful and so powerful in the last verse of chapter 12, right before we have the filling of the Holy Spirit chapter, or the love chapter, chapter 13. What I discover is that 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, is actually divided into two sections. The A part of the verse introduces chapter 14, and the B part of the verse introduces chapter 13. Now, I know my saying that rapidly may not mean all that much to you, but I want to be sure that I say it time and time again. When you come to the last verse of the 12th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, You have an emphasis by the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian believers. And he's emphasized primarily the importance of what it is to be a part of the pivot. A pivot would be God's special, dedicated, committed, transformed individuals. And so what I'm doing here is I'm pivoting. I'm pivoting from pivot to covet. I want you to see that my foot's down and one foot is solid and I'm twisting and I'm moving for you to be able to see some things with me that we may not have seen in past days. We're pivoting. The foot is down. We understand where we are as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is no accident that God has put us here. We're seeing this in this magnificent 1 Corinthians because God emphasizes the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is made up of born-again believers. We're talking about people who are saved by grace, you and me, the pivot. And God is saying, your foot is solid. You are a part of the pivot. So take a look. Take a look to your left. Let your body sway. And let it begin to understand that there's a reason for you being on this earth right now. There's no accident with God about your being here. There's no accident about in the plan of God about how things are working out even in our nation at this particular point of time. It's interesting to me to be able to see and to analyze just a little bit. The foot is solid. We're a part of that magnificent pivot. And now God is saying to us through these magnificent verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13 and 14. Most of you are familiar with these chapters. God is saying, you, and I'm moving now from the Corinthian church to you and me. God is saying to you and me, you must realize that you are a member of the body of Christ. You've been saved by grace. You're alive, very much alive right now. And there's a reason and a purpose for your being here. When I get into this 12th chapter of the book of Corinthians, I get so amazed because I find an emphasis upon two different things. One is an emphasis upon the body of Christ with its many parts of that pivot. And then there's an emphasis in this passage where the Apostle Paul talks about the physical body and the many parts, how important the parts of the body are. I remember as a young man in high school, involved in a head-on collision. When I saw the headlights of this car, I was a passenger. I threw my hand up against the dashboard. And when the car hit our car, it pushed this arm down, broke this arm. Glass came from the windshield that almost severed one of my fingers. I remember those experiences that night in the hospital when I realized that it was an unusual experience for me. When I looked down and saw this finger, it looked like it was almost severed. I thought about, and I'm thinking about it now, Joyce is teaching piano, and I think about the precious hands of the individuals taking the piano lessons and how important it is for each one of these fingers to move. Have you ever stumped your little toe? You may not think much about it, but if you stump one of your toes, I promise you, you're going to hurt all over. It's interesting to see in the 12th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul talks about the body. And he talks about the various parts. And he says, if one part hurts, it actually affects the entire body. And we're talking about spiritual body. The same thing is true about our church family. When one of our church family members hurts, we're in essence all hurting. Amazing. This magnificent scripture says, desire, cover, covet the greater gifts. Now, the great temptation for me is to spend too much time on all the details related to chapter 12. I want you to come back with me and let's look again at the exegetical study of this 31st verse. I see that the word is covet. I see that it is a verb. You would expect me to say that, wouldn't you? I see that it is a verb that is a command, an imperative verb. I look at it, and I see that it is a verb that is in the present tense. And so that says continuous action. I look at this verb, and I see that it is an active voice. It says the subject produces the action of the verb. I see that it is a command, being an imperative verb. The Apostle Paul is saying to the Corinthian believers, and he's saying to us today, you have a responsibility to be properly prepared as a believer. And the only way that you can do that is first know Jesus Christ and then love Jesus Christ supremely and respond properly to His direction on a day-by-day basis. Stay with me. Let's look at this together. Covet. And I look at it. Z-E-L-O-U-T-E. Zelute. I enjoy even saying it. Present tense, continuous action. Active voice. Each believer is responsible for this. The imperative verb, it's a command. What does it mean? The word covet means intense desire. Covet. Time goes by when you're having fun. When I look at this admonition of the Apostle Paul, I see that the Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul in a tremendous way as he dealt with and ministered to the Corinthian believers. And we can see how magnificently the Apostle Paul was directed in emphasizing the fact that not only were the believers in Corinth responsible, but he's emphasizing that you and I as believers in Jesus Christ, one body, many members. He was emphasizing this with the point that when any one member has a problem or suffers, then all of us are affected. The Apostle Paul begins now to speak of spiritual gifts, and that these gifts distributed to individual believers were based upon the grace of God and not the merit of individuals. And when you go to 1 Corinthians 12:11, it says that he divided the gifts to each one as he wills. Stay with me for a few moments and think about yourself. If it says that he divided the gifts when we were saved, it says he bestowed on each one of us as a believer at least one spiritual gift. And relative to this gift being effective is dependent upon us as a believer having the filling of the Spirit and vertical viewpoint. This is what I'm calling the proper preparation for life. In other words, we have to have and understand the importance of being controlled by the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and having, as a result of that, vertical divine viewpoint. I jotted myself a little note to share with you. The adolescent believer gives limited expression. The baby believer gives almost no expression and often is an emotional bent person with confusion in the soul and also an improper witness to others. I'm somewhat alarmed by the thought pattern of certain individuals. In recent days, and I'm not going to repeat any of this right now, but in recent days on television, radio, I've heard statements that individuals have said in relationship to our president, and I cannot imagine anyone with any heart at all making those kind of statements. The Holy Spirit gives to us as individuals an individual spiritual gift. If we are a baby believer, then we give almost no expression, and often, as I have here, an emotional bent person with confusion in the soul and also an improper witness to others. Since two people have exactly the same function, no two people have the same function, God deals with us individually. I put in parentheses here, team members in an athletic contest depend upon each other, though each has his own personal position. I believe this. God has a separate purpose for each and every born-again believer. And there are no unimportant positions. All the parts of your body are necessary, or God would not have included so many different parts. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 27, gives a list of important positions in the body of Christ. I will not list these because I'm not primarily teaching this chapter. But apostles are listed there. Prophecy is listed there. Teaching is listed there. Miracles are listed there. Healing is listed there. The gifts of help listed there. I went through these and I jotted myself a little note. In these verses, we have leadership gifts, and then we have spectacular gifts. I would enjoy spending time on this right now, but I will not take the time. There were magnificent temporary spiritual gifts that were given, beautiful, magnificent temporary spiritual gifts, when they fulfilled their purpose, they were hissed off the stage. When the Lord wanted the church to settle down and work, the spectacular was dissolved and the real remained. I jotted myself a little note here. Brother Foote thought he should be able to speak in tongues. And since he didn't, or she didn't, I shouldn't be unkind there to the female gender, she wouldn't and couldn't, so she decided, or he decided, that he would fake it. In the light of trying to fake it, he found himself frustrated. The gift of tongues was for the purpose of evangelizing the Jews from 30 A.D. until 70 A.D. The gift of speaking in Gentile language. This is found in chapter 13, verse 31b. When you go to 1 Corinthians 12, 31, which is the passage now with which I will conclude this message, it's an introduction, as I said at the beginning. I would encourage you to do one thing for sure, in case you miss a lot of this today, please write 1 Corinthians 12, 31a, the A part of the verse, introduces chapter 14. It's important that you have this. I'm not dealing with it at length, but it's so powerful. 1 Corinthians 12, 31a, the A part of the verse, the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, introduces chapter 14. Write this down, please. 1 Corinthians 12, 31, the B part of the verse, introduces chapter 13. Now the Spirit of God instructs the Apostle Paul to use the word covet. And the word is uniquely presented to us in the Greek as not singular covet, but plural. Why is this word in the Greek, in the original language, plural? The word is plural because it relates to people. It is addressed to a group. It is addressed to the church at Corinth. The church has responsibility to utilize the best, to operate within the framework of the best. He says here, and I close with this, think about it. I show you a more excellent way. A way beyond comparison. I show you a way beyond your ability to even see it from a human standpoint. And this is what I want you to covet. This is what I want you to desire. More than anything else in all the world, I want you, please, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to desire this. More than anything, it's what God's plan is for you as a believer. It's the greatest thing that could ever happen to any believer. It's the proper preparation for God's plan for your life and my life as an individual. Covet. Desire. Have an insatiable hunger for, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, a part of that pivot. Be sure that you don't miss out. At this point, desire what you're going to see in chapter 13. What is chapter 13? Yes, we refer to it as the love chapter, but in reality, it is the filling of the Holy Spirit chapter. What a wonderful, magnificent challenge. May we pray together, please. Father, we are aware of the fact that we have a challenge beyond anything that we could ever put into words. First of all, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation through Him. We're thankful for the scripture that we've read. And we are thankful for the presentation of the desire that the Spirit of God used the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians and to us, that we should desire, have an insatiable hunger, the desire more than anything in all the world that we be the recipient of your divine power, realizing that when we are captivated and led by the Holy Spirit, cleansed of sin, filled with the Spirit, then love will captivate our lives and we will be the kind of believers we should be. We thank you for the challenges of life. We pray in the last few seconds of this service for those who hear the message who have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. This could be the greatest experience ever in their lives when they realize that this is the time to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who will do that now. We realize that our Heavenly Father loved us so much that He was willing to give His Son. And Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to this earth as the God-man, God in the flesh, God incarnate, for the specific purpose of going to the cross to die for the sins of the world. But not only did He die, but He came forth out of the grave, victorious over sin and the grave and death and hell. And He's the only one who can save. That's the reason why Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. Thank you for that. Bless, we pray, these moments of invitation. And we pray that there will be those who will trust you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.